Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, we also heard in the headlines that Ukraine and the United States appear to have reached a deal, giving the US a substantial share of Ukraine's mineral resources. This comes after 2 weeks of public spats and intense diplomacy, with President Zelensky expected to sign the deal in the White House on Friday. Here's how President Trump responded to the news.
I hear that he's coming on Friday. Certainly it's okay with me if he'd like to. And he would like to sign it together with me. And I understand that's a big deal, very big deal. And I think the American people, even if you look at polling, they're very happy because, you know, Biden was throwing money around like it's cotton candy. And it's a very big deal. Look, it could be a $1 trillion deal.
We know that ahead of that meeting on Friday, the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer will visit the White House tomorrow, fresh from a pledge to sharply increase UK defence spending. Let's get the latest now. We're joined from Kyiv by the BBC's Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse, and we'll speak to Lucy Fisher, who's in London, the Whitehall editor of the Financial Times and host of the Political Fix podcast. But first, James, to you, the details of the deal have been slow to emerge. Have you been able to find out what has been committed by the Ukrainians in return for American military support?
All we've been told so far by sources in the Foreign Office is that this is a much more favourable proposal to Ukraine. President Zelensky has just called a press conference, which we're on our way to shortly. So hopefully we'll find out a little bit more. But if you look at the reports, it seems to be that we're talking about a pot of money, a fund where Ukrainian profits from its natural resources and oil and gas will be pulled into, and it'll be co-owned by the US and Ukraine. Now, what is missing from it, it seems, is some kind of security guarantee that President Zelensky has long been calling for, such as a possible troop presence backed by the United States, or further ammunition or weaponry or armored vehicles. We don't know if there's anything in it for Ukraine yet, but the feeling here, the hope, is that after, as you say, a really hostile backdrop where you've had Donald Trump call President Zelensky a dictator, an average comedian in his previous career, who's doing a lousy job in this war, we could now see what could be the start of future cooperation between Ukraine and America that might just give it a fighting chance. And it might just give Donald Trump a reason, albeit a very commercial one, to step in and protect Ukraine if this war was to reignite after a ceasefire was signed, given that Russia still occupies a fifth of Ukraine with all of its heavy associated military presence. So it is a diplomatic breakthrough, but the detail is scant, certainly from my end for now. But, you know, this is quite unexpected. But clearly, Ukraine has been forced to continue to engage with Washington because of its and Europe's continued reliance on the US for it to provide a military safety net should the ceasefire fail down the line.
And James, you expect at that press conference that you'll be on your way to in just a moment that the visit to the White House will also be confirmed, that President Zelensky will travel there on Friday.
That's what we're expecting. I mean, we've heard, as if you heard there, Donald Trump say he's expecting the visit. So what will that entail? I mean, such is geopolitics these days. You've had this sort of one-way stream of insults, and crucially for Ukraine, a real warming between Washington and Moscow, where you've had acknowledgement of by Donald Trump that Russia's in a stronger position because of the territory it seized. He's acknowledged Russian sacrifice in its full-scale invasion of Ukraine. This somehow gets Ukraine slightly closer to the negotiating table, but it is still not at it yet. And we must remind ourselves that this is part of a peace endeavor. This is about getting all parties, in the eyes of Donald Trump, to the table to agree to a lasting ceasefire. And this is a sizable commercial dimension of that.
Well, James, we'd better let you go and get to that press conference, and we'll keep a close eye on what President Zelensky has to say in the next little while. But let's turn to London now and to Lucy Fisher. And Lucy, we know that Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, will be in the Oval Office most likely tomorrow. And he made that commitment on defence spending. Was it designed to smooth his path in terms of how that meeting will go?
Well, in a word, yes. I think clearly he needed to come forward with this announcement before flying into Washington to have something to lay out in front of Donald Trump. But it is also, you know, a response to the rapidly changing strategic context in which the UK and the rest of Europe finds itself following recent interventions from the Trump administration, making clear that they are not willing to provide the sort of security guarantee and necessarily the sort of military support and logistics forces on the continent of Europe that we have been used to in recent decades. So I think in terms of bringing forward the deadline for meeting the 2.5% of GDP spending commitment, which was, of course, a Labour manifesto pledge, that felt to me like something that was coming down the road pretty quickly, whether or not Starmer was going to Washington this week.
Some of his own MPs, Keir Starmer's own MPs, are very much in disagreement with his decision to take this money to spend on defence from the foreign aid budget. What has been the general political reaction to that, to where the money is coming from?
Well, I've been interested. I mean, you're absolutely right to say there has been outcry from quarters of the Labour Party. It's not been quite as vocal as you might have thought for, you know, a centre-left party, to my mind. Clearly, this has been something of a shock to David Lammy, given that just 2 weeks ago, he told reporters while on a trip to Ukraine that when the UK cut its aid budget from the first time round in 2020 from 0.7% of gross national income to 0.5%, that had been a big strategic mistake. He also sort of complained about doing it at short notice as this latest cut has happened, and warned that, you know, with the cuts going on to US aid in the States as well, internationally, it does leave a vacuum for China to sort of leap in developing countries and build alliances and influence. So clearly, you know, this is something that has been drawn up quite quickly, and there's no evidence as yet that there's been a proper impact assessment by the UK government.
Lucy, we'll leave it there for now, but it is going to be a very interesting 2 days ahead, first with the visit of Keir Starmer to the White House, and then on Friday, as we expect, Ukraine's President Zelensky will be there signing that deal, it would seem, with President Trump. Coming up next, the latest on the Garda investigation into the death of a woman on a ferry which docked at Rosslare Port yesterday evening.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.